Before I start, let's pray. Father God, we've come here tonight to meet with you. And we're all in different places. Whether we feel good about ourselves at the moment, or whether we feel low, we come knowing that you love us and that we can come just as we are. We come trusting that you'll draw close to us and that you'll make us more the people you've created us to be. By your Holy Spirit, would you use my words to build up and encourage, and let anything that isn't helpful or isn't of you be quickly forgotten. Amen. We're going to have a couple of short readings to start with, so Jane, if you could come and read, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, so the first reading is from Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And the second one is from Psalm 139, starting at verse 13. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you."
Thank you. So when you hear those readings, I wonder what your reaction is. Do you believe that you were made in the image of God? Do you believe that he knit you together carefully and intricately in your mother's womb? That he knew you before you even came to be? At the very outset this evening, I just want to encourage you to put aside any thoughts that put you down. You know the kind of thing that I mean, the thoughts that pop into your head and say, "I'm useless, I'll never be good enough, how could anyone love me?" Or maybe it's something like, "I wish I was cleverer, or funnier, or better looking, or more like that person." These thoughts are not from God. I say again, they're not from God. They are life-sapping thoughts, not life-giving thoughts. So be kind to yourself. God looks at you and he delights in you. So tonight, we're thinking about the subject of the body. And I just want you to keep in mind that God created you, that he loves you. You aren't a mistake. He's gazing on you with delight. So we're going to have two more short readings, if Lucy could come and read for us.
The first reading is from 1 Corinthians 3. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and God's Spirit dwells in you?" The second reading is from Romans 12. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will."
Thank you, Lucy. So having heard those two short readings there, I think it's probably worth asking ourselves whether we really believe that God dwells in us by his Spirit. We're asked to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice in this Romans reading here. But what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? If my body is a living sacrifice, if your body is a living sacrifice, If God's Spirit dwells in each of us, then maybe we should just stop and think for a minute about how we view our bodies and how we're treating them. So tonight, we're going to consider our bodies like a vehicle. The vehicle that our souls travel through life in, and the vehicle that God's Spirit dwells in. I wonder what kind of vehicle you feel like you've been blessed with. Would it be a brand new flash Jaguar F-Type? Or maybe you feel like a beautiful but vintage Morris Minor. Is your paintwork well looked after? Or is it a bit scuffed and worn? What about if we looked under the bonnet and we checked the oil and the water levels? I wonder how they'd look. I'm going to stick with this metaphor just for the next few minutes while we consider how we treat our bodies. The first category we're going to look at is that of neglect. Some of us neglect our cars. This is like failing to check our tyre pressures or not making sure that the oil and the water levels are topped up. Maybe not bothering to do the annual service. In the long run, we know actually this is quite short-sighted because it can lead to larger problems. If only I'd checked the oil level before I did that long journey, the engine wouldn't have seized up. Or if only I'd topped up the water, the engine wouldn't have overheated and I wouldn't have broken down. With our bodies, this might manifest itself with us not making time to exercise, or maybe we don't bother to eat healthily. For some of us, it might be that we avoid going to the doctor to have that lump checked out, or to see whether that mole has turned nasty, or whether that twinge is anything to worry about. I'm not saying that we suddenly all need to become gym bunnies or be training for a marathon, thank goodness. We don't all suddenly need to be on the Joe Wicks 90-day program. You don't have to go rushing off to the doctor at the slightest sniffle. But what I am saying is that neglecting the needs of our body isn't what God would want for us. Neglecting the vehicle that God blessed us with to journey through this life in isn't treating it with respect. We need to remember that God's Spirit dwells in us, that he's blessed us with this vehicle. He created you and he created me. So we need to take it seriously and look after what he has made. The next category we're going to think about is that of overworking or straining our vehicle. Some of us push our cars too hard. We drive them too hard and too fast. And it eventually leads to externally visible damage, like wearing out the tyres. Maybe you end up with creaky suspension. I think you can end up with things like stripping your gearbox or blowing a gasket. You can tell I'm not very good with cars. Simon Butler would be disappointed. Many of us don't have a good work-life balance. If somebody says to you, "How are you?" I wonder what your answer to that question normally is. Is it, "Oh, I'm really tired. I'm really busy." It's really very easy to end up with a sense that we're so important to the work we engage in that we can't possibly stop, otherwise everything will fall apart. And being busy gives us a sense of self-worth and a sense of purpose. Pushing ourselves harder means we can achieve more. We can prove ourselves to others, and maybe we can earn more money and kudos along the way. If we stop and have time alone, or we carve out time to be quiet and to be still, will we like what we find? Some of us actually feel like if we stop to rest or to sleep, that makes us lazy. But it's not true. I think it's really helpful to remember that Jesus took time out from the pressure of his ministry to withdraw away from others and to take time to be with his Heavenly Father. He also had plenty of time eating and socializing with others. There are plenty of stories about that. So where do we need to slow down? And how can we create better boundaries in our lives to protect the rest time and make sure that we aren't pushing ourselves too hard and too fast? The final category we're going to look at is that of obsessing. If we're honest, Many of us do a little bit of this. It just depends where we are on the spectrum, how far we go. Some people are so concerned with how their vehicle looks, they spend an awful lot of time keeping it shipshape. So regular polishing and valeting. Others, at great expense, will customise their car, maybe adding the racing stripes down the side, dropping the suspension, maybe adding a big speaker in the boot so that it thumps as it goes by and everyone turns to notice and admire the vehicle. Are we obsessive about our bodies and our image? Do we feel like we have to have the perfect exterior? There are huge pressures surrounding us all the time from the media and from our peers on how we should look and how we should present ourselves. And this plays on all our worst fears as a human being, because actually all we fundamentally want is to be loved. That's all any human wants. And it's how God has wired us. The subtle, and actually often not so subtle, messages from the media about what is acceptable in terms of how we dress, on who and what is considered to be attractive, on who we hang out with. It's all about the image we portray to others. And if we think about this, what's motivating us deep down is wanting to be accepted, wanting to fit in, to be loved and thought well of. For some of us, this can turn into a perfectionism that's damaging. Maybe this translates into not eating enough, so obsessively controlling your food intake to the point that you make yourselves ill. For others, maybe it's about over-exercise, and every waking moment is thinking about the next hit of endorphins. Some are so unhappy that maybe they've begun to do intentional damage to the vehicle, like marking it with graffiti or intentionally denting or scratching the bodywork. Self-harm is rising at a staggering rate, and it includes any way of intentionally damaging or doing harm to the body. And fundamentally, self-harm is the physical manifestation of emotional distress. The great news is that God loves you. Completely, just as you are. And nothing that you can do will make him love you any less or any more. You don't have to be fitter, stronger, or more beautiful. He loves you just as you are. Don't forget, he made you. It's not to say that you should let everything go. We've already said that on one end of the spectrum, neglecting our bodies isn't what God would want for us. But actually obsessively worrying about how we can make ourselves more attractive or more acceptable to others at the other end of the spectrum isn't what he wants for us either. He wants you to be secure in his love. He wants you to know that he looks on you and he delights in what he sees. As I've been talking, some of you may feel something's resonated with you. Maybe you know that actually you haven't been looking after your body in a way that says, God loves me and God's spirit dwells in me. Maybe you have felt so unlovable, you can hardly believe that God would have intentionally made you. Or maybe you're so busy and overworked, you haven't been able to see the wood for the trees for a really long time and you're running on empty. For others, maybe you feel actually you've got an addiction or a tendency towards a pattern of behaviour that's ultimately doing damage to your body. If something's stirring in you, that's God's spirit working within you. It's a good thing. Don't worry. But what can we do about it? Well, the church is described as the body of Christ in the book of Corinthians, and we're all part of the body. Each one of us is important, whether we're a hand or a foot. we all matter. And this means that we each have a responsibility to each other to hold up a mirror and help each other see that God's Spirit dwells in each of us. And actually, he's been there all the time. Whether we feel important or whether we feel insignificant, whether we feel good about ourselves or we feel low, God's Spirit is there. And he's always been there. We need to help each other see through God's eyes. If we can learn to see ourselves through God's eyes, the Creator who knows us, who loves us, who delights in us, then we can begin to be content with who we are and happy in our own skin. It's not always easy, and there are times in our lives when we face challenges and crises. And there are times when we can find ourselves asking, who am I now? What's my purpose? Where do I fit in? At these times, it's tempting to either neglect our bodies while we deal with the crisis or develop a pattern of behaviour as a coping strategy, which might be overwork, obsessive perfectionism, self-harm. What we need to do is keep coming back to the fact that God dwells in us through his Spirit. God dwells in you. God dwells in me. Whatever is happening in our lives, this means that we have an anchor. We have this truth to hold on to. That we are God's beloved children. And we always fit in with him. There's always a place with him for us. In his family. As his friend. At his table. If we keep drawing close to him, we keep holding on to that truth, we'll gradually learn to see ourselves and others through God's eyes. And this is ultimately what enables us to be a living sacrifice. Seeing ourselves and others through God's eyes. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you knit each of us together intricately and carefully in our mother's womb. Thank you that you love us completely and nothing can separate us from that love. Thank you that you don't expect us to cope with the challenges of this life alone, that you've given us your Spirit to live in us always. We pray that you'd help us to see ourselves through your eyes. Show us where we could be treating our bodies better, knowing that you made us, you love us, and you dwell in us. And we pray that you'd give us the eyes to see how to support and encourage those around us in our church, our families, our friendship groups, and beyond. So they too can be secure in who they are. Beloved children of God. Amen.